Hi, my name's Valerie. I'm an alcoholic. It's a pleasure to be here. I love coming down to Laughlin, and I want to thank John for asking me to be here and the committee. This is really something for the Tri-State Roundup to put this together for people from Arizona, Nevada, Las Vegas, Arizona,
California.
Thanks, Tim. People have asked me if I'm nervous, and I've been saying, no, I'm not nervous, but for the past week, I've been eating everything I can find, and I have been dieting since March, so I've probably put all the weight back on that I had lost to come here and look so great. But my alcoholism story is a progressive alcoholism. I did not jump right into it and go into it like I do candy. I just had screwdrivers on New Year's Eve. I eloped at 17 years old. I had seen my mother go out all dolled up drinking and get bashed around in the kitchen by whatever husband she was on. And I didn't want to be like my mother, and I could tell you her story and it would be mine. I got divorced at 22, went out into the world and heard the word marijuana, didn't know much about it. I was going into the twist contest, and I became like a twist queen on Friday nights. I had a partner, and I'd get in contests. I didn't have much money. I was a secretary-type girl in a two-woman office, and she didn't like me at all. She was older, probably my age now. And I was the young one in the tight skirts, and the bosses were asking me in a happy hour, and so now I'm drinking a little bit more. I would go pick up my children from nursery school, and I was doing okay, but my stepfather got sent over to the Bahamas, which was only a 20-minute airplane ride, and I flew over there, and I applied for a job as a cocktail waitress, and I lied for that job like I knew what cocktails were and all the new, the screwdriver. And you were supposed to be tall, so I wore high heels. My mother had a beauty shop, so I put all the hair on I could, hanging down my back, and I climbed over the ropes of this beautiful building built like the Taj Mahal, and I got hired. And so us girls arrived from all over the world to work in this place. We were supposed to all be experienced, and hardly any of us knew what an old-fashioned was and what fruit went in it and all this and that. And they kind of threw their arms up in the air and gave us classes to learn how to be cocktail waitresses in this gorgeous place. And we wore harem costumes. And now I'm learning to drink just about every night. We're serving drinks to customers, and it's this beautiful place, and I'm making money each night that I'd never seen before in my life. I'd never seen a casino before. And so I was making fabulous money, and I was there for 4 years. I had met my second Mr. Hem and moved to Las Vegas because he got deported for having a fight in the pub. I had learned to play darts. As long as I drank, I had fun playing darts. I had my own darts with the weights in it. The island was British, and he had deported, so he came to Vegas, and so I came on to Vegas also, and now I'm working downtown Las Vegas, and he did not want me to be a cocktail waitress, so I got a job as a bookkeeper at Chick's Wheel Alignment. It's still there. And I was a bookkeeper, and my mom and I got a beauty shop downtown. Some of you might be surprised about that, but I also knew how to do books, bookkeeping. I knew how to steal and keep books. So, you know, I was a natural-born stealer. I mean, it just seems to be a built-in thing when you're born with that profession. You just know how to steal. And so we had this little beauty shop in the back of the Coronet 5 and 10. It used to be downtown, and the shop was in the back, and here I was a bookkeeper for this break. I shouldn't be naming the store. I already named it once, 10th and Ogden. I was doing his books. I wasn't stealing from him, but I had the beauty shop, and then I was a bingo girl at night at the Western, And so I was a busy person, and I had my little boy, and so I met hymn number three, and hymn number three, by the way, these guys knew how to drink and be a little violent if they chose to, and I'm drinking every night now. And you know, it's really fun to drink and play bingo. I don't know if you've ever tried to do that, but you smoke, you drink, and you hit the bingo cards, and it's really a great profession to learn how to do that. And then I worked bingo, I played bingo, and I would go sit at the bar with some of the people, and we got off duty, and we didn't pay for our drinks because the bosses drank also. So they would comp us, so we'd just sit there and drink. And the bartender nicknamed me Go Cup because I would sit there and order my drink, and eventually, you know, some of them would go home, and I didn't want to go home, so I'd get my drink in a Go Cup, but I wouldn't leave. And so the Go Cup would start to get a little gushy, you know, and eventually I would leave with my Go Cup, and I was a bar hopper. That's a great progression from once a year to now drinking every night and becoming a bar hopper, leaving downtown and heading for wonderful North Las Vegas, because in my divorces I had ended up moving to Northtown. It seemed like I never wanted to go home, yet I had a son living there by himself because I worked nights, part of daytime and nights. That's a part in my fourth and fifth step that I didn't like. You can see the change in my voice of having my son be there by himself and me be out working and drinking and bar hopping. You see, I was brought up that way also. I was home alone at night while my mother was doing her thing. From working at the Western, I got a job in Northtown at a casino, and a job that I just eventually hated. I guess because of being in cocktails and casino lights and stuff for so many years, it ended up to be about 27 years. It kind of chokes you up and you just don't want to do it anymore. What happened was, though, I ended up being in my worst relationship ever. My drinking and my relationships both went downhill together. The worst relationship and toward the ending of my drinking. I did not know that I was an alcoholic. I was in blackouts, so what? I accepted those. I didn't even bother to question them. I drove on Lamb Boulevard every night, and it was under construction. It seemed like that street was under construction a good part of my life. I don't know. They just, maybe that's where they parked all those signs and everything. Maybe they had no other place to put them. I don't know. And they had a curve in the road and everything, and I drove it drunk. I always drove over to Charleston & Lamb to Duffy's Bar and would sit there and drink until daylight, you know. And I was I watched my watch. I always wanted to have 8 hours sleep. And I'd sit there and yak with the bartender and whoever else, and I started cutting my sleep time short. Oh, I'll go home and sleep 7 hours. Or I'll do this, I'll do that. And what happened was, my mother come for a visit. My mother and I were the same. I didn't like my mother. I had a terrible relationship with somebody that battered me twice in one day. I had gotten out in between the batterings, and then eventually the cops came, and they had him leave. Isn't that nice? They had him leave. And I started carrying a gun. It's not too swift to carry a gun, and you know, my purse, I don't know about other women's purses, but when you're a smoker, the tobacco can come loose, and this and that, whatever else you got in there, a bag of happy marijuana or whatever you got in there. I put my gun in a baggie to keep it clean. How else are you going to keep it clean? So I used to practice, you know, you got to put your hand in your purse and be able to get your hand on the gun so you can pull the trigger. If you got the safety on, you got to be able to put the safety off also. But I kept my gun clean that way. And so I was in a dangerous life because, you know, I had a rotten man in my life. But, you know, they can say, I love you. You can have a rotten relationship, and if they say, I love you, and you know you don't have any self-esteem, and they say those words, you like to hear them. It's pretty bad. We went to a relationship thing about this battering and stuff, and that's what she told us, that we had an alcoholic relationship. You know, and I kind of understood that when she said that. It's a no-good relationship. It's no good. Alcoholic relationship. And yet I know I've seen two drunks together that seem to get along, being a cocktail waitress. I've seen it. I've seen men and women sit at a bar drunk together, yet I've never seen them at home. It's another story when you go home together. Who's the one that starts yelling and throwing things at each other? You know, I've had things happen that I didn't remember where he would say I threw a drink at him and the splash would be on the wall. Or throw the pumpkin. You know, things that I don't remember. And so I've had the rotten alcoholic relationship. So time went on and I did not have him in my life, but also here's the crazy part. I love the sunbathe. Well, when you come home late, you don't have too much time for sunbathe or anything because you got to sleep because you got to get up to go to work. So I used to get in my bathing suit, come home, don't even bother to go to bed. Get in your bathing suit and go out and sunbathe out on the porch and do your sleeping there and get your tan at the same time. So I came home to sunbathe, but this time it was different. I was in a negligee outfit in a lawn chair inside the house. And I woke up in a terrible disgrace. My body had emptied out down to my ankles. My mother was there. I don't know what the heck she was doing. Maybe she was having a rum and coke in the living room. I don't know. But she was a drunk, too. And I woke up. My head did not say, go take a shower. My head did not say, what the heck is this? My head said, this is like a dead person. I cleaned myself up and went and got the telephone book. And what did I do? I tried to figure out how to spell Alcoholics Anonymous, a word I had never looked up before in my life. And I called Alcoholics Anonymous. And I went to the Thai club that day. May 29th, 1984. I'll be 20 years sober the end of this month. And that's what it took to get me to go to AA. Not the blackouts, not any of the other crazy stuff, not the other things that I've seen drunks do as a cocktail waitress. Not their bottoms, not my girlfriend's bottoms. Not my mother's bottoms, nobody else's bottoms but my own. And isn't it wonderful that just that one second, that one thought that I had at that moment brought me to Alcoholics Anonymous. And thank God I found it in the telephone book and that somebody answered the phone at Central Office in Las Vegas. So, when I retired, I went to Central Office and I did the phones for 4 years, and it's a very funny thing to do because you get some weird phone calls. I started a journal when I would be there at Central Office, and not just writing down the everyday stuff or a wife calling trying to set up her husband's meetings or whatever, but just some of the far out phone calls you get, and I still do them once a month from my house. And isn't that nice? You can go start a laundry. You can do anything when you do the hotline, the telephone from your house, and that's how it's done in Las Vegas. It's done from the office 5 days a week, 8 to 4. But from then on, it's done from people's houses. And that's pretty nice. So there's a little plug for central office. So I started going to meetings, and luckily I had heard 90 meetings in 90 days. Now I got off of work at midnight, North Las Vegas, on Las Vegas Boulevard. They had a meeting at midnight on Las Vegas Boulevard by the Stratosphere Tower. It used to be called Vegas World. I would drive that street and get to that meeting about 11:45. It was the first time in years that I had some place to go when I got off of work other than a bar. I drove that. See, I drank for 22 years. I drove that and would get to the AA meeting. Now, this is what happened when I walked into this place. It was kind of dark. There was an alcove here on my left, right over here by Patty. And it was dark right there. And somebody was sitting there with long, dark hair. Some of you might be old enough to remember this. When we had cars in the, like 1957 or so, the dark, shrunken head that some of them hung on the mirrors that swung back and forth, like the days of the dice cube thing. And so that is what that looked like sitting over there. That's how my mind perceived things. Remember, the big book says, in the doctor's opinion, now adjusted to life. My mind saw something now adjusted over here. Up here was like Star Wars. Crazy looking people. A thin guy sat up front there, and he would say that God backwards was dog. Up here, up front, facing me, everybody else was facing him, but he would be facing this way, big fat guy, asleep. Over here, sometimes with a lady taking 2 or 3 chairs and her grocery cart, sleeping on some chairs. Every person had a different type of character to them through my eyeballs. Did I say I don't belong here? Did I say this is a weird place, I think I better get out of here? I went in and took a chair and sat down. Isn't that great? You know, you see, because I was drinking in Northtown and spit on the floor bars. They didn't have carpet on the floor or anything. I was in those kind of joints, and so this AA place was fine. Now, I became friends with Rip Your Face Off Katie and Lynn, I called her Yak Yak Lynn, and Sandy and Nevada Red and, I can't think of his name, the bartender from the Landmark that would cry real easy. We were all characters. And I wish I had started saying that my name was Go Cup Valerie, but I didn't do that. I had it in my drinking area, but I didn't use it in AA. So that's how I got sober. Those are the people I got sober with, and it was wonderful. And we just had a 1984 party 2 weeks ago in Las Vegas. So those are the people that I got sober with. And you know, I just fit right in there, and it was wonderful. And so those are the meetings I went to. I worked 4 days a week, so I went to meetings on my days off just about everywhere. I just loved it. I'd get out the AA schedule, and I would kind of make a plan. Remember, I was a bar hopper, so I started doing that with AA meetings. I could go to different areas of Las Vegas, and I never knew who I was going to see, and I just kind of enjoyed doing that. It was like opening new doors every place I went. And I heard about service. I had been a hospital volunteer in my drinking time, and I heard about service, and I heard about service at jails, and I wanted to go to the jails, and I found out you couldn't go till you had a year, and it was a good thing, because you know why? I wanted to go out there and get one of these guys with all the muscles and the tattoos, and I wanted to make him my pen pal. I always wanted to take somebody hostage, but I always got those bad guys, you know, that wanted to beat you around, and you can't take those guys hostage. And so if you got one hostage at the jail or the prison, you knew where he was all the time. But guess what? Jackass, the manager of Central Office, he was the one who'd be talking about the prisons. He said you can't go for a year. And isn't that a good rule? Because the maladjusted person had other ideas. So it's a good rule you can't go in the first year, because there are rules in how you dress, the reason you go there for, and you don't become a pen pal. So I've done jails for about 19 years. I have not fallen in love with anybody at those places. My first place I went to was women only. I did downtown jails for women only until my job changed in different directions, different hours and stuff like that. And I've done jails up until last November. And so standing here right now, if any of you have ever been in any of the jails in Las Vegas, you've probably heard my story before. There's Janine over there. She went to the North Las Vegas jail. She was on the outside, on the outside. She carried the message, not the person. It's wonderful to do service. I don't know what I'm going to get into next. It's nice to be adventurous. I found out in sobriety I'm adventurous. I love to try things. And in fact, mentioning Janine again, piano. I'm trying keyboard right now. I'm kind of like in kindergarten in keyboard right now. In fact, we're graduating a week from today. 2 weeks from today, I'm graduating out of kindergarten in keyboard. You know what? The left hand is supposed to do something else. And I don't know how the heck I'm going to get that to do something else. But you know what? It reminds me what happened in bingo. In bingo, my left hand was doing something else, smoking and drinking while I was playing bingo with the other hand. So I know this left hand is going to do something else on the keyboard eventually. That's my way of looking at it. All right, Patty? Okay. My sobriety has taken me through many chapters. I call them chapters. I'm so glad that they've been good. Many things have happened, haven't they, in everybody's life? Many things have happened. I'm so glad that the steps have taught me and I've been able to use them. I've needed them. I've needed them really bad. I'm so glad the second step told me that I could have sanity. I didn't know that. And when I saw that, it was good news to me that I didn't have to think I was going to be going crazy, because I thought that sometimes. I felt like I was losing my mind sometimes. And to be able to turn my will and my life over to God, when I was a person carrying a gun and hiding my car, and I couldn't stand living that way anymore when I was new in sobriety and he was after me, and I could start putting my car back in the garage and just take the chance, because I couldn't stand living that way anymore. To be in AA meetings and still feel like I needed to hide my car, that he was going to walk in there too. I put my car back in the garage. And you see, I'm standing here today. And that person has passed on. And I haven't been hurt again. I have not been battered in almost 20 years. Isn't that wonderful? I have not had that type of a person in my life. I'm very lucky, because I have learned boundaries for me. Hopefully all of us do, that we learn boundaries. We do not have certain types of people in our life that aren't good for us. We get boundaries for ourselves. I have learned in sobriety to be a woman of the type of person that finally has happened for me. Now here's the part that my boyfriend says people don't understand. I got bored in sobriety. And what did I hear at a meeting? If you're bored, you're the boring person. Oh, golly. I don't like that. My sponsor said, I want you to find out who you are and what you want to do. Oh, my God, what's that mean? How do you do that? Who are you and what do you want to do? She didn't tell me either. So I started reading the newspaper. It's just people don't understand me. So I have brought them with me. I ripped them out. You can look at them after this meeting. I'll point it out to you what's in here. Canoeing, Scrabble, dancing, plays. I pretended that I was in my house and somebody comes up and knocks on the door. Valerie, where would you like to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Well, think of something. Well, I don't know. That's how it used to be in sobriety when I was new. So I started reading these things in the newspaper. I took myself to these things. Not all of them, some of them. I became a camper. I bought a 3-man dome tent. I got this attitude in AA as part of my sobriety. I'm going to do everything myself. I had been dating a guy that I thought he'd chew my food for me if I let him. He was just creeping right up my back. I just couldn't stand him anymore. Oh, my God. I swear, it just felt like he was right there all the time. And it's like, I'm going to do this myself. And I learned about a 3-man dome tent. Now you just slide those poles through the seam, and you got a tent that you can just pick right up like this and move it about. And I went out to the lake. Your beeper, I had been promoted at work at the job I hated. I got this beeper on me that works out at Lake Mead, and I can move my tent. The sun's over here. I can move it over there. And there's a there. You know, I never put the stakes down in the ground. I didn't have to. Thank God it didn't get real windy out there. I would have had to. I did have my hammer with me just in case. And so I became a camper, and I kind of liked it. That's another story of what happened about camping. I got a funny story about a tent. It blew up the street up in Sun City where I live, but that's a whole other story. You'll have to see me at another time. But date yourself. Find out who you are and what you want to do. There's no reason to live in this life and not go out there and enjoy it. Go enjoy it. You know, I hope I learned to play the darn piano. I'm not going to quit yet. I might be able to play some nice music for myself. Geez, what a great concept. All right, so I'm going to tell you another part of my story that's a God thing. My first boy passed away when he was 11 years old. Medical. My second boy and I moved to the Bahamas. I got the job there, blah, 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 blah. Came to Las Vegas, blah, 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 blah. He became a hairdresser like my mother, all hairdressers. And my hair has been so many different ways, this way and that way, and colors. I mean, it's finally this. I wish my mother could see it. She's passed on now, but she'd probably freak out seeing this hairdo. But it's great. No comb, no blower, no nothing. Just do it like this. Anyhow, that has nothing to do with, well, freedom and sobriety. My son called me when I was about 4 years sober, lived in Florida, and told me he was HIV positive. And it was not good news to me. I was going to give up everything. I was a saver of money. And I was going to move to Florida just so I could be nearby making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches when he stopped by. But when I went there, he was still very independent. And I thought, my God, he might fall in love with somebody and move to Texas or something. I came back to Vegas and I told the owner of the casino that my son was HIV positive, and that if I have to, I might move to Florida. I told him that before he promoted me. So it was okay. And so also, if I don't do good in my promotion, can I go back to being a cocktail waitress? He said yes. So I got promoted to promotions out of cocktails. And the owner and I did promotions, and we did it wrong, and we were giving away too much money on Father's Day, and we had a good time and laughed about it. On and on. I kept getting promoted and promoted. Now, we got two casinos now at this time, four blocks apart in North Las Vegas. And so now here I am, I'm doing all this stuff. Then he makes me bar manager because they blah, 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 blah. And then I'm public relations, da, 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 da. Then I'm doing both things and all this stuff. Then he moves me back to the casino where I used to drink and work. And anyhow, I get called back to Florida because my stepfather passed away and I had to get him buried fast. And moving forward real quick, my son is in his last days of his life, or months, in my living room in the medical bed. I go to Florida, and I didn't want to go to get my mother. And she's not doing well, and I have to take my mother out of there and come back to Las Vegas. Well, I went to an AA meeting there, and I didn't know anybody, and I was Dundee, and my son wasn't talking on the phone to me anymore, and I was just crazy. And I went back to the house, and I'm there, and you know, somebody came and knocked on the door. And I didn't know the person. He gave me all the boxes that I need to box up my mother's stuff. He handed me this card, a Monopoly card, get out of jail free. And he said, I can't help you. But here's a card to get out of jail free, and here's all the boxes you need to box up the things to go. And he left. God sent this person to that house to get me back to Las Vegas as soon as possible because of my son. So I ended up with my mother and my son at the same time. God took care of me through those days. I was not a happy camper at AA meetings. I would pace in the back of the room. I'd look at the people in the meeting and not like anybody. Didn't like anybody at the meeting. Everything they were talking about was tiddlywinks compared to what was going on in my life. Whatever they were saying was nothing. And yet I knew I needed to be there. I couldn't just be at home. I knew I needed to be at the meeting. And I didn't like anybody there. And then I'd go on to work. I couldn't stand to just be at home all the time. I had to go to work. And what do they say at meetings? Act as if. I'd go there and do the casino stuff. It changed the channels for me for a while. Anyhow, I made it. I made it. I made it through it. I did everything I was supposed to do. Blah, 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 blah. I'm a very lucky person. God loves me. God loves me. People came and helped me. The gay AA people in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, came out to the house in Florida, did a yard sale, and got everything sold. Eventually, my mother's house was sold. Everything came together. It was all done. It was wonderful. Everything got done, but this was amazing, this person that came to the house. Amazing. And those four particular guys come to Vegas every April. They give me a Mother's Day corsage. I see them every October in Florida. We go to their meetings when we're in Florida. Everything's wonderful. My job that I hated so much in drinking, and when I got sober, I ended up with social activities because of my job. I was out in the social world with different titles and different groups in the social world of Las Vegas. I went and flew with the Air Force. What a thrill that was for me, because I like stealth planes. I flew in a KC-135, laid down in the back and looked out the window and saw the B-2 bomber. That was a thrill for me, the bomber plane. I've never had a successful relationship. I'd gone to the mountains with my tent and got quiet with God, and it just came that I didn't have a relationship. I was about 13 years sober, no working relationship, and what is there to do? My family's all deceased, all of them. My mother died after Greg died. What is there? What are you supposed to do? Help another alcoholic. That's what it always comes up to be. We're to help another alcoholic. That's my purpose in life. I come down from the mountain, I have a phone call from Dick T. What the heck does he want me for? He wants me to come out to the house for dinner. For what? I drove my sponsor nuts. I'm calling her up and she's saying, just want you to come for dinner. Well, I want to dissect that. For what? For what? For what? I go out to the house for dinner. It's Noah's Ark. Everybody's a couple. He's in the kitchen by himself, and I'm sitting there by myself. We've been together ever since. It'll be 7 years this August. A working relationship. What do you know? We have a good time together. Now we have two kitties. We love them. They love us. I mean, what can I tell you? We're in the pet annex with two kitties. So our life is good. My sobriety, you know, I'm coming up on 20 years, and things happen. You know, my motto, slogan is to keep going forward. I can't keep looking back and rehashing that stuff. I'll make myself sick. I have to keep going forward. And one thing that's been good for me is the day that I was chairing a meeting, into my mind came the picture of the justice scale with the two plates hanging down on the chain. I'm sitting there at the Triangle Club, and this came to my mind. Greg was sick in the living room of my house at that time. The scale, this plate over here has got problems on it, but this plate over here has got good things on it. And I can live like that. I might not like this plate, but I got good stuff on this plate. And I can live like that. And what do you think happened at the casino? They made me general manager of the casino where I hated my job. Isn't that weird? There I was, a woman that worked at the casino where she used to set up drinks all around a slot machine so that when she got off duty, she could drink them all. Got sent back to that casino to be general manager. I'll tell you what, those men around there didn't like it. I'll tell you, it was a trip. They'd come into the office with their arms folded real tight, you know, the managers of their departments, and there I am, general manager, and they knew I used to be a cocktail waitress there, and they'd stand there with their arms folded because I've got something to tell them, you know, I'm the manager now. And it was a trip, and I had to go to the library and get books and study and try to learn so that I could survive those little fishies in the ocean, because now I'm the bigger fish. And sponsors help. I had a sponsor that used to be a career woman, and she used to be a nurse, and she helped me a lot through all that AIDS stuff and the career stuff. I got a lot of help, and I hope that everybody has a sponsor and uses a sponsor and is a sponsor. I hope you work the steps. We need them. I need the steps. I needed the steps a lot through the things I went through. And when I sponsor people, I read the step again. I don't go on my own intuition about the step. I go over it again with the person. And I guess that's all I have to say. I'm so glad I have a God in my life, a working relationship, the ladies that I sponsor. There's two of them sitting here staring at me. I'm they're probably, I have a report card on people, you see, and they've probably got a report card on me right now, so no F's today, we're off today, so thank you very much.